Well, hello, Shoreline! It's funny because everybody's here. It's awesome. How are you guys doing? Come on, you're that good? How are you doing? That was great, wasn't it? Man. This is good. It's good to be with you guys. Hey, listen, if this is your first time here, I want to say welcome to Shoreline, and we are so glad that you're here. Did you hear that on your way in? Welcome to Shoreline. We're so glad you're here. Did anybody hear that? Okay, good. Because it's true. We are glad you are here. In case this is your first time or you haven't been around in a while, Shoreline is here at Watermark. It's a high school ministry. And here's what I love about Shoreline. Here's what I love about this room. This isn't a room that is just made up of one school. Did you know that there's over 40 different high schools represented in here tonight? 40. More than 40. So here's what I want to do. On the count of three, I want everybody to shout out the name of your high school. All right? So let us know that you are here. You ready? One, two, three. I heard a lot of Prince of Peace. Three. No, I'm just kidding. Five. Incredible. This is amazing. But hey, this one's great. This is not a Prince of Peace church. This is not a Highland Park church. Highland Park's probably here. This is not a Lake Highlands church. This is not... It's not a Covenant church. It's not a TCA church. It's not a J.J. Pierce church. It's none of those. It is, I hope, here's what we want to be. It is a people who need Jesus church. Anybody? And that's why we are glad you are here, because we know this. We know that you need Jesus, and we know it too. And we just want to seek Him and follow Him together. And so we're glad you're here to join us in doing that. Hey, I want to tell you just a little bit about our church before we kind of dig into the scriptures. There's really four things that we're all about here at Shoreline, and we're all about here at Watermark. And I want to hit those real quick. All right. We're about believe, belong, be trained, be strong. The crowd was so big out there, you might have missed it, but we are selling Shoreline t-shirts. Does anybody have theirs on already? Stand up if you have it on. Go ahead, Zach. There you go. So he's got on the Shoreline t-shirt. There we go. Got another one. And then it says Shoreline on the front. The back says, you can sit down now, believe, belong, be trained, be strong. Believe in Jesus. You need Him. We really believe this here at Watermark, just so you know, that Jesus was an actual person in human history that walked on this earth, and that the evidence of His life points towards Him actually being the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, sent from God, and He was actually God in the form of man, and that He actually died, and that He actually rose from the grave, and He did that to demonstrate His power over sin and to purchase our freedom. So we want you to believe. Not just one time, walk down an aisle, say a prayer, and I fire insurance for all eternity, but to every day wake up and say, Lord, I need You, and I believe that You are my life, and I'm going to walk with You every day. So we want to believe. We want to belong. That means you want to be a part of a group of people and belong to the body of Christ, is what the Bible describes it as, where you are connected with others who also need Jesus, and you walk with them and you sharpen each other through life. And we want you to be trained. This world is full of lies, and we want to teach you what the truth of God's word says. And then we want you to be strong. 40 different schools. We want you to be out on your campuses, every campus, all over this city, being strong in a life of ministry, loving and serving your peers, pointing people towards the One who saved you so that He might save others. Also, I've shouted out to a lot of schools. Any freshmen in the room tonight? Yeah! I would just like to say welcome to the freshmen, being your first time here at Shoreline. Now, Two of these things we accomplish through a little thing called small group, belong and be trained. I want to make sure everybody in here is in a small group. Here's how it works, guys. This is new. We do Shoreline here on Wednesday night. I'm so happy you're here. But then the next four Wednesdays, don't come here because there will be nothing. The next four Wednesdays, we will be in, it's just a coincidence that we have 40 different schools. We also have 40 different small groups. We'll be in 40 different homes all over the city studying God's Word together. Next week, we start on Ephesians. Some of you guys have your booklets. Every single one of you in a small group will get a Bible study booklet for the semester to guide your discussions and also your quiet times, your time with God, if you want that. But if you're not in one, you can sign up online right now on your phone. You have my permission to get it out. Go to moreshoreline.com, click small group, join one today, and you'll be sitting in a living room studying God's Word, belonging to the body, being trained in truth. Next Wednesday, we'd love for all of you to join one of those. Lastly, I want to introduce myself. I haven't said my name yet. My name is David Peniel, and I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Watermark. And I have...
Yeah, David.
And I have the privilege of not just being a guy on staff, but I have the privilege of being called the director of the high school ministry. And that is a privilege for me to work with you guys. And I'll tell you this, I am now like an old man. I have a kid in elementary school. And so now I go to the school and then the kids go in and I'm with the parents standing outside. Oh, hey, how's your coffee? Oh, mine's good. Let's go tuck in our shirts. And so like, that's the world that I live in now. And when I tell people that I work with high school students at a church, you know what everyone always says?
What?
Do you know? What would they say?
Too old.
They're like, where's your goatee? No, they don't say that. They say, man, that must be hard. And here's the thing. Old people think that you are difficult to get along with. You freak old people out. Old people, and I'm serious, you've picked up on this. Old people are scared of you, and they are scared of the future of our country because it is in your hands. Yes, be proud of that. They don't get you. They don't. They don't understand the tweets and the twats and the instas and all the stuff. They don't understand it. They don't understand Snapchatting and Vining and all the things that we do. Or you do. I'm not we. They don't get it, right? And so they're scared. And I said it's a privilege to work with you. And I'm not saying that I get you. I'm not saying that I understand you. I'm probably closer to old than I am to young. But I believe in you. And I want you guys to know that's why it's a privilege, is I really believe in you. And I don't really believe in you as much as I believe in God. And I believe God loves you. I believe He loves your generation. And anytime God has done anything in any generation throughout history, He doesn't just magically come down in a cloud and do it. He uses His people. People who love Him, who are devoted to Him, who give their lives for Him, and they change the world. And I believe that God wants to use you, and I believe He can, and I believe He will if you turn your life over to Him and you make yourself available to Him. I believe God wants to do great things in your life and in your entire generation through you. And that's why I say it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be the director of this high school ministry and to work with you. And that's another reason why I'm excited that we're only sitting in these rows once a month, because that means that every other time that we would have been sitting in these rows, you have an opportunity, whether or not you're going to take it, but you have an opportunity to be out influencing and changing the world. Serving here at this church with the young children, age birth through fifth grade, there's a spot for you with the kids with special needs, greeting visitors and newcomers out in the parking lot, or as they walk into the church, you can come to this thing we're doing called Lead Team, where you can be equipped to be an influencer in your school. Yes, Lead Team. There are so many different things you can do, but I believe in you, and I don't want you just to sit. I want you to serve. I don't want you just to come into meetings. I want you to be a part of ministry. And that's not being ministered to, that's being a ministry of students. That's what I believe in you, and that's why it's a privilege to work with you, because I believe many of you have that same heart and you're going to change the world. So now it's time to start the sermon. Let's pray. Dear God, I just pray for tonight that Your Word would speak to us. And God, I pray specifically tonight, Lord, that you would move in our hearts in a way that would cause us to respond. Not just take what we hear and walk away, but that we would respond to it tonight. Would you demand a response with what you have for us? In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys know my name, but you don't know my family. You can take my name off the screen. That's a little vain. But that is Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, David. Anyway, Snapchat, Vine. I'm on all of them. All right, you know my name, but you don't know my family. I said I have a kid in elementary school. Chapman is 5, turned 6 on Friday, just started kindergarten, and it is terrorizing to send him into a school with 6th graders. It's just really scary, and so I'm kind of a little bit shaken right now. Then I have a 3.5-year-old named Cole and a sweet little baby girl named Annabelle who's 9 months old, and a beautiful fetching wife named Allie. And I want to tell you a story about my family here that's going to launch us into our discussion of God's Word tonight. This summer, my family, as often as we could, we don't have a pool at our house, so we found a swimming pool to go swimming at. And my coworker, I don't know if she's in this room or back in the back, Melissa Miller. Melissa's back there. Everybody shout out Melissa. What up? She just put in an incredible pool at her house, and they like made it custom made for kids. It has this part that's like 6 inches deep, and it's like, you know, 10 feet wide that kids can just like play in, and then it goes into the normal pool. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. And so our whole family went and swam at her house. Now, we took a picture, we took a photograph while we were there swimming, and if anytime I'm telling a story to help you picture in your mind what I'm talking about, I like to show that picture. So I was telling my wife, I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to talk about when we went to the pool and what happened there, and I'm going to show that picture that we took. And she's like, you are not showing a picture of me in my swimsuit in front of all those high school students. And I said, yes, I am, woman, you shut your mouth. And no, I didn't say that. And she said, I'll be doing the laundry. No, she didn't say that. She didn't say that. And so, she said, what she really said was, you are not showing that picture. And I said, maybe I am. She said, no, you're not. And so I reached a compromise. I edited the picture slightly. And so here is the photograph. I really get a kick out of this. It's so good. So that's me in the background. I'm kind of waving. There's Cole and then Chapman and then my wife, Allie. There's nothing inappropriate going on, but she just didn't want to be seen in her swimsuit. And then there's little Annabelle. Look at her sitting in the water. So sweet. And so that's the amazing, you know, kid-friendly pool that we got to swim at. But you guys know this, when you go swimming, especially as a little kid, and you don't swim super well, so you spend a lot of time walking around in the shallow end, sometimes the bottom of the pool can be rough. And you get those little scrapes on the bottom of your toes. You guys know what I'm talking about? Those little scratches and those scrapes. So both of my kids came home complaining about their toes hurting. And they're, you know, we got home and they start playing Legos and doing the different things. And they just keep whining. And I'm like trying to toughen up my kids. So I'm like, Allie, we're not putting Neosporin and Band-Aids on those little scratches. Like, they just need to be tough. And so, you know, they keep whining about it. And I'm like, guys, it's just a little, I can't even see it. It's just red. Like, you need to suck it up. Okay, but it hurts, you know, and they're whining and just complaining. They're whining. But I'm like, we're not going to do anything about it. So then, you know, I'm in the other room. I hear pitter-patter of feet. And our kids, and you might remember this from when you were younger, if you have younger siblings, they like to announce it when they have to go to the bathroom. And so Cole is like, I hear feet, and I hear Cole's voice go, I had to go potty! I'm like, okay, you know, go for it. And then I hear him start like screaming, and he's like, my feet hurt! And he's screaming that his feet hurt. And so I'm like, well, that's fine. Just go potty. Don't tough, you know, be tough. Don't worry about it. And he's just, my feet hurt, daddy! And he's just like, the intensity is picking up. So I walk into the bathroom, it's weird. We have a bathroom like off our kitchen. So I walk into the kitchen and then he's standing in the bathroom door and his tears coming down his face and he's crying. My feet hurt. And he's kind of doing like this. Like, you know, when you have to go to the bathroom, he's like, my feet hurt. And I said, did you go potty? And he said, no. And I said, well, do you have to go potty? And he's like, yes. And I said, well, go potty. You know, like, go. And so then he sits there and he stops. And then I look down and he's just peeing all over himself. And like, he's not peeing his pants. He's peeing himself. Like, his shirt's down and it's like, it's soaking into his shirt and like moving up his body. And then it's coming down his legs and it's forming a puddle all around his feet. And somehow the chemicals in the urine are making his toes hurt worse than they already hurt. So then he's like, ow, it hurts! And I'm just like, what is happening? And the puddle is, you know, running into the cracks where the tile meets the side of the door. And I'm like, I can't get that out. Like, I'm going to live in a house soaked in urine for the rest of my life and I have to deal with it. And I'm like freaking out. But as I'm sitting there looking at my son, who is in pain and a complete mess, I realize something. I am Cole. I'm Cole. You are Cole. We are all Cole. I've got 3 points tonight, and here's my first point, and then we're going to dive into the Bible. My first point, though, you don't even need a Bible verse to make this point. It's this, that we, not just me, not just you, we are hurt and we are dirty. You see, he was hurt by life and then he lost his mind and made a mistake and he made a mess. And all of us have been hurt in this life. And frequently we lose our minds and we stray from the ways that we need to go and we make a mess. We are hurt and we are dirty. If you haven't been around Watermark long, you know this. This is a place where people are real and we're authentic and we want you to be real about what your hurts are and what your dirt is. I'll share with you a little bit of mine. Listen, I'm realizing this, putting my kid back in school, and now I'm thrust in this environment with all these new people, and I've got this new social circle of school parent people. I'm just as insecure as I was when I was in high school or junior high. I just deal with it differently. You see, I was hurt when I was in elementary school. I had friends abandon me. I had a best friend in first grade. I had a best friend in second grade. I had a best friend in third grade. Best friend in fourth grade. Best friend every year, a different best friend. I don't know what I was doing. I thought there was something wrong with me. I mean, I guess I was lucky that I always had a best friend, but I kept losing friends. And that hurt. Then, when everybody else hit their growth spurt in junior high, I didn't hit mine. And I was shorter than everybody else. I wanted to play basketball. I couldn't make the team. That hurt. I wanted a girlfriend. I couldn't get the ones that I wanted. That hurt. And I grew up with hurts in my life. A few years back, my parents got a divorce, and I don't have the relationship with my dad that every son wants to have with their father. And that still hurts me. What are your hurts? Do you have problems with your family? Do you struggle with how you are, who you are, how you look, your abilities? Have people in your life said mean or hurtful things? Have you been left out? We've all been hurt. It just looks different. Maybe you've been abandoned by a family member. Maybe you've been abused by a family member. Maybe you've been abused by someone that you know or someone you don't know. We all have hurt. It looks different in each of us, but we are all hurt and we're all dirty. In the midst of that hurt, we don't make it better. We make it worse. We make a mess of it. When I was in high school, I was a Christian from the age of 10. I loved God's word. I loved being a part of things like this. But to deal with my hurt, secretly I would escape into pornographic magazines. I didn't have the internet. That's how old I am. Do the math. But magazines. And I would hide it. And I was ashamed and guilty. I became prideful. And I started judging other people, trying to build myself up in order to tear them down, maybe. I would judge people who were doing things wrongly, call them names, try to turn other people against them. I still do that on some level today. I was insecure. I doubted my identity in Christ. I was dirty. I still am dirty. I still struggle with a lot of the same things, with the pride and the insecurity and the control, trying to control everything in life because I was hurt and I want to protect myself from it. What's your dirtiness? What was your summer like? Was it a dirty summer? Were you far from God? What was your weekend like this weekend? What's your heart like right now? I mean, come on, I'm being real, you be real. We're all hurt and dirty. And here's what's crazy, too, It's sometimes when we realize that we're hurt and dirty, rather than turn to God like for help from that, the realization actually pushes us away from God because we realize this, wait, God is good, God is perfect, and the last thing I need is somebody telling me how bad my problems are and how bad I am and punishing me for what I'm doing and making me feel guilty and ashamed. So sometimes we can stay in the church world, but we put this bubble around ourselves and we don't really allow God to penetrate in and to have an intimate relationship with us because we're afraid of Him. We're afraid of what would happen if we were really known. We deny the fact that He really does know us all along, and we try to hide from that. Sometimes our hurt and our dirtiness push us away from God, but I want to tell you something incredible about God tonight. And I want to do everything I can to get you to draw near to Him. So we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to John 13 so you can see it in your own translation. I'm using the New Living Translation of the Bible on stage tonight. I'd love for you to bring your Bible when you go to small group and when you come to Shoreline, and even bring a journal, because when you write something down, you have a lot better chance of remembering it. And it's better than taking notes in your phone, because you're going to get a new phone someday, but that journal you could keep with you all of your life. And years later, you never know when you're going to open up that journal and find something that you need. And so I'd really encourage you guys to get a little journal, go to Barnes & Noble or something like that. Bring your Bible. You can underline stuff, take notes in the margins. It's a much better way to remember the things that you're taught from God's Word. So we're going to go through John chapter 13. All right, and let's just jump right in. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that His hour had come to leave this world and return to His Father. This is Thursday night before Good Friday. The next day, Jesus dies. Okay? So He knew His hour had come to leave the world and return to His Father. So these are His last words, some of His last words to His disciples, to His followers. These are important words. He loved His disciples during His ministry on earth, and now He loved them to the very end. This is just a bonus point. God loves you. God loves you. I want to remind you of that tonight. So it was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had given Him authority over everything, and that He had come from God and would return to God. Now, I want to hang here for just a second. This is why this is in here. It's reminding us who is in the room. Because we're about to see something happen, and we're setting the stage here. Jesus was in the room with His disciples, and Judas was one of them. Judas was about to betray Him. Judas's heart had turned. Judas had present dirtiness in his life. Present sin. Also in the room, a man named Matthew, who used to be named Levi, who was a tax collector. Tax collectors were traitors. They were wicked. They had abandoned their family, their friends, and their countrymen. Matthew was in the room. He had past sin that was wicked and bad. So you had present sin, you had past sin. And then Peter is also in this room, one of the disciples, who the next evening, when Jesus got arrested, would deny even knowing Him. Not once, not twice, but three times. So there was future sin in that room. Guess what? That's this room. Tonight, there is past sin. There is present sin, and there is future sin in this room. And Jesus knows everything, and He knows what's about to happen. And so here's what He does. He got up from the table, and He took off His robe and wrapped a towel around His waist. So He changed clothes. He changed into the clothes of a servant, and He poured water into a basin, and then He began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel He had around Him. Now, this is, to us, it doesn't mean anything. We've heard the story before. You've colored the page in your Sunday school class when you were a kid. This meant a ton to these disciples. This was crazy, okay? In this day and time, Jesus was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. Jews were allowed to have slaves and servants that lived in their home. That was part of their law, and it was just kind of accepted, and that was just what happened. It was a normal deal. And so they had slaves that would serve them food, that would prepare different things, take care of their animals and all this stuff. But a Jewish slave was not even allowed to wash a person's feet because feet were considered so filthy, you would defile yourself by washing feet. So they actually had Gentile, non-Jew slaves that would be the ones, the only ones, that would wash a person's feet. So it was unheard of for a Jewish person to wash another person's feet, let alone a person who had a position of authority over others, which is Jesus' role as rabbi and teacher and leader of these men who had been a miracle worker and a teacher all the time that they'd known him. So it was absolutely unheard of and insane that Jesus would change, put on the robe of a Gentile servant and defile himself by washing their feet. Now, your feet are gross, but their feet were grosser. They didn't have paved roads and they didn't have Nikes. They had sandals. They didn't have cars. So everybody rode on horses and camels and donkeys. And so there was poop and pee and everything all over the place. They didn't have toilets. So, you know, if you've ever been in a third world country, you know the mess that you even make on your own feet when you're using the restroom in different ways. So their feet were disgusting. They were not only defiled by dirt and dust and, you know, calluses and all that, but they were defiled by the waste materials of humans and animals alike in which they walked through all day, every day. It was just caked in and part of the environment. And so this was a disgusting thing. People, you know, were ashamed of their feet. You would never have somebody that you respected and loved touch your feet in this way. But Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. Here's what this tells us. Jesus is not intimidated by our dirtiness. He's not intimidated by our dirtiness. He wants to clean the grossest parts of you. This is my second point, and it's a simple one. Jesus came to clean us. I mean, He came here. He came to this earth, and He came to clean us. We are hurt, and we are dirty, but Jesus came to clean us. Jesus came to clean you. Your guilt, your shame, the grossest parts of you, the parts of you that you would never want your parents to find out about, the parts of you that you would never want anyone in school, if the rumor got out, you wouldn't want people to know. Jesus came to clean that, to clean it, to wipe it off, to make it go away completely. He didn't come to yell at you. He didn't come to tell you to clean yourself up. Jesus came to do the cleaning. And Jesus came to clean you tonight. So when He comes and He does this crazy, scandalous thing that just shocked His disciples, look at how they responded. So some of them let Him clean their feet. But He comes to Simon Peter. And Peter says to Him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "Hey, you don't understand what I'm now doing, but someday you will." And here's what He's saying is what we've just talked about. This isn't just about washing feet and me doing this crazy thing. This is about me cleansing you from your sins. This is about me wiping your slate clean, removing your guilt, removing your shame. You don't get it now, but someday you will. And then Peter argues. He says, No. You will never wash my feet. You are not a Gentile servant. You will not lower yourself in that way. I won't let you do it. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Hold on a second. I mean, really, in your heart of hearts tonight, do you belong to Jesus? Do you? Have you been washed? So Peter responds like this. He exclaims, "Then wash my hands and my head as well. Not just my feet. Wash all of me. Come on. Then I want to belong to you." Man, how great is that? Like, it's a little over the top. Jesus kind of calls him on it in a minute. But here's the deal. We tend to resist the washing. We want to do it ourselves, or we want to deny that it's even necessary. We don't want to wake up every day with an awareness of our hurt and our dirt, our need. We want to just have it all together. And I want to encourage you tonight. Stop fighting. Come to Jesus and surrender your life. I'm saying give your life to God. All of it. Okay, my hands, my head, my feet, then everything, God. It's all yours. If you don't do this, it means I don't belong to you. I want to belong to you, so do this. Clean me, God. Clean me. Wash me. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I can't deal with the hurt. I can't deal with the dirt. I can't make it go away. I can't stop doing it. I keep doing it. I need to be cleaned. Would you come to Him tonight and be cleaned? I'm inviting you. God's inviting you. And then look at what happens next. This is really cool. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again. He sat down and he said, all right, you understand what I was doing? And they're kind of like, I guess. He goes, you call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. I'm your teacher and I washed you. So look at what he says next. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Now you do as I have done. You see, we are hurt and dirty, but Jesus came to clean us. And once you receive that cleansing, if you know that cleansing, if so far in this message tonight you've been sitting there going, yep, I know it, David, I agree with you. I am hurt and I am dirty. And yes, I also agree with you. Jesus came to clean me. I'm celebrating that with you, David. My heart is connecting with what you're saying, David. I have been cleansed. I have come to the water. I have been washed by Jesus. And every day I wake up with an awareness of my need for Him. I say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Every hour I need you. Every day. If you're clicking with me, now this is the part for you. If you come to Jesus and you receive the gift of His cleansing, this is what's next for you. Jesus calls us to participate. He's not finished. There are others out there that are hurt and they're dirty and that need to be cleansed. None of us can clean ourselves. And so Jesus says, I'm about to leave this earth. I'm going to ascend back into heaven, and I'm leaving you here. And the example that I've given you, this is what you do. You show my love. You show my cleansing power. You show my humility to the world. And so he calls you to participate. And so I want a senior guy to volunteer tonight. Chase, come on up here. I need a freshman guy to volunteer tonight. Britt, come on up. Britt, have a seat in this chair. This is Chase Chandler. Chase, introduce yourself to Britt. Britt, go ahead and take your shoes off and your socks. You see, you hear the story in the Bible, and it's like no big deal. Like, okay, Jesus washed their feet. No, it was awkward. And you're about to feel it in this room. All right. Chase is going to wash Britt's feet. And if you can't see it, stand up for a second. And I want you to see it. Like, I want you to see it. Okay? All right. Sit down. Sneak a peek and sit down. This is just a little side note, and then I'm going to wrap up. All right. Seniors, kick. I'm not going to say it. Hashtag SKA, ska. Hold up. This is a senior washing the feet of a freshman. Nobody's going to do this, but I hate ska. I think it is ridiculous for believers to post that, because what you're saying is that I'm better than you. And I want to put you down and put you in and hurt you even more than you're already hurt. Well, how about SWF, seniors wash feet? That's much better, okay? But look at this picture. Hold on. Hold on. This picture right here of one person washing another person's feet. This is what your school, 40 different campuses, need to see. Here's what the rest of the world shows your campuses, shows you, shows your peers. Here's what the rest of the world says. Advance yourself. Make sure you preserve and protect and build up your reputation. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do what you want to do. Tear other people down to build yourself up. Cooper, blow out other people's candles so that yours will shine brighter. Right? That's what the world says. But what they need to see is something different, and you're the ones to show it to them. What the world needs to see is Christians on every campus who see the hurt and dirty people and offer them the cleansing that Jesus provides. You've been cleansed yourself, and so you're willing to lower yourselves to show people what Jesus looks like. And when they notice that it looks different, like this looks different, this is weird, this isn't normal, that you're always lending me paper and offering to drive, and you're always checking to see how I am when I look down, and you're always offering me that smile in the hallway, you're always asking how my day was, this looks different. Why are you acting that way? You can show them Jesus, and you can tell them how you have been cleansed. God calls us to participate, but it takes humility. You have to actually lower yourself. You have to actually put other people and the kingdom of God ahead of yourself and your own kingdom. So will you do it? Here's a picture of my boy Cole. This is a little guy that was hurt and dirty. And in that moment, when he's sitting there in a puddle of his own mess, and he's crying about how bad it hurts, and I'd already told him to tough it up, I looked at him and I said, "What are you doing? You idiot! Clean yourself up and clean up the floor." Did I say that? No, I didn't say that. You know what I did? And so many times we think that's how God's going to treat us, isn't it? You know what I did? I picked him up and I held him. And I got his mess all over me. And I walked him back to the bathroom and I put him in the bathtub and I turned on the water and I took off his clothes and I washed him and then I dried him off and I put dry clothes on him and then I went and took him into my bedroom on my big bed and I held him in my arms until he calmed down. And then we talked and we watched a show and I loved him tenderly. And I am an imperfect human father. If I treat my own child that way and look at him, he's so sweet. That's how God looks at you. He sees you just like this. And when you're hurt and when you're dirty, He comes to you. Jesus came to clean you. Not to call you an idiot, tell you to clean up your mess. He came to clean your mess for you. Let Him hold you. Come to Him tonight. And then listen to His call and go. And show him to others. Tonight, I'm going to pray, but when I'm done, I'm going to have some of the leaders stick around up here in the front. If you need to talk to somebody, don't go home and say, "I'm going to do it next week." Do it tonight. If God is moving in your heart saying, "You need to be cleansed. You need to be cleaned. You're hurt and you're dirty and you need help. Come get it tonight. We want to introduce you to Jesus." If God is calling you and He's saying, "Man, you need to do something. You need to be like Chase. You need to be a senior who washes feet. You need to be Jesus to your school, but you don't know what to do. You don't know how." Come talk to us. Say, "Man, I feel God moving in my heart. I feel like He's calling me." We want to help you. "Hey, I don't know God. I think I'm dirty. I need to be cleansed. How do I do that?" We want to help you. So come. Come see us tonight. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank You that You came. I thank You that You left heaven. Thank You that You were born in a manger and You lived on this earth and You showed us that You came to serve us. I thank You that You cleansed us by Your blood on the cross and You demonstrated it through the washing of feet. And I thank You that You gave us this picture to see what the world needs to see. And I pray that we all saw it tonight and that we would demonstrate it in our actions every hour, needing You and leading others who need You to come to know You. I pray this, that we would do that. In Christ's name, amen.